Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live recording on how to stay positive in a negative world was recorded at our 2010 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
You're going to have to get discerning enough that when you hear somebody speaking unbelief and doubt and fear on the television or the news or whatever it is, that you take a stand and you counter those things. You know, a passage of Scripture that people quote often is Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. And that verse says, "No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, thus saith the Lord." That's a great promise, and people quote that all of the time. But notice it says, "No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper," and then it says, "And every tongue that rises against you in judgment." You know what? I believe that there's a linkage there. You know how these weapons come against you? Through words. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Romans 10, 17. Unbelief, fear, dismay comes through words. And we are having people speak words that are just terrible, the things that people are saying. And Christians are so gullible. Let me just remind you of something here. Does anybody remember the Y2K stuff? Did you know that that was basically a non-issue in the non-Christian world? The non-Christian world, there was some talk about it, but the unbelievers didn't make a big deal out of that. You know who it was that amplified this? Were Christians. Christians blew this thing out of proportion. They were teaching that this was the end times. This was the beginning of the tribulation. I had a friend in Chicago that literally sold $600 worth of food stuff and weapons in his church to his people so that they could protect themselves when Y2K hit and people came to steal their food. They could protect themselves and kill their unsaved neighbors in the name of the Lord. I was on a talk show in Dallas-Fort Worth, and they asked me what I thought about it. And I said, "That's a non-issue." I said, "Anybody who believes in this Y2K thing has never traveled around the world. Most of the world wasn't into computers the way that we were." And I said, "They were just thinking that, you know, Y2K wasn't going to affect anybody in Uganda. Amen. It's no big deal." It was just people who lived in their own little world and thought that the whole world was dependent upon computers, and they amplified this. And anyway, I went on record and began to tell people over a year or 18 months out that Y2K was going to be a non-event. And did you know I had a lot of Christians get mad at me because they bought into this fear. They were ruled by fear and stuff. And I was asked on this talk show, "Why wouldn't you believe in this?" I said, "For one thing, the way that people are motivated to go out and buy this stuff and hoard and buy guns to defend themselves and all of this stuff, it's all fear-based." I said, "If it was going to happen," I said, "the way to prepare yourself isn't to hoard and buy a gun so that you could kill anybody that came after your food. The way to prosper would be to give. And God will bless you." I said, "This whole fear-based thing, I rejected it on the fact that it was fear-based and things like this. And because of it, I was able to recognize the fallacy of it. And I started my television program January the 3rd of 2000. That's the first day that we were on television. And I had my first program. I said, "If you are watching this program, then Y2K was a farce." Amen. And I came on and taught about it. And I said, "And if you can't see this program," I said, "you wouldn't be hearing what I'm saying. But if I'm wrong, I'll come and tell people." All of these people who's told how bad Y2K was going to be, they didn't apologize. Matter of fact, many of them said, "Well, they adjusted, and 8 months from now, it's going to be the same thing." It's the same thing as the guy who wrote the book about 88 reasons why God would return in 1988. And when that didn't happen, he wrote the book 89 reasons why he's going to return in 1989. And Christians bought into that stuff. You can't depend on some preacher to come through and tell you what's right and wrong. You need to find out the Word of God, and you need to get to where you can build yourself up and reject this negativism. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we are living in a non-faith oriented society, it is detrimental. It is deadly to faith. It is deadly to relationship with God. As iniquity abounds, the love of most people is growing cold because they don't know how to rightly divide the word themselves. They don't know what the word says. They don't encourage themselves in the Lord. I'm on television. I'm not against being on television, but I'm telling you, if you have to go to the television to be encouraged, you know, if you're in a situation like that, well, then get encouraged, but eventually get to where you can encourage yourself. You need to get to where you can build yourself up in the Lord. Look over in 2 Peter chapter 2. Here is a classic example of how the ungodly affects the faith of the godly. Let me skip some of these verses and just jump down. 2 Peter chapter 2. And in verse 6 it says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should live, that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot." The word "just Lot" here doesn't mean that he was the only one that was delivered, because his wife and two daughters were also delivered. But that word, the exact same word that in the seventh verse was translated "just," was translated "righteous" twice in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, just one verse later. So this is talking about that he delivered righteous Lot, a godly man. Lot was a godly man. And it says, "He delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." Man, that's a strong word. This says he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. In verse 8, "For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Man, what a classic example of what I'm talking about. When you live in the midst of iniquity, it causes your heart to grow cold unless you do something deliberately to stop this process and to counter it. And I think that most Americans today aren't even aware of how ungodly our surrounding is, how much unbelief there is. You know, I have people come to me all the time and they say, "Why don't we see every single person healed?" And I don't have a total answer for that. I'm still learning. I don't understand everything. But I can guarantee you this, it's God's will that every single person be healed. It's God's will that we be blessed. But we live in a culture that is so full of unbelief that, you know, I think if we were looking at things properly, we would be amazed that we see as many people healed as we do. We live in a culture that is just full of unbelief. People put more faith in what a doctor has to say than what God has to say. Man, you could quote 50 scriptures that talk about healing, and yet a doctor could tell you you're going to die, and you just fall apart like a $2 suitcase, because the word of that doctor is more real to you than what God has to say. I'm looking at Alan and Debbie Moore down here, and they're part of our, what is it, Destiny series or something. They're on one of our videos, but he had a massive stroke, and boy, they went to the doctor, and because, see, they knew the word of God, they stood there and countered what the doctor had to say. And according to all of the tests, one-third of his brain isn't even working. And yet you're alive and well and walking and talking. Stand up and let them see a man that is supernaturally healed. Isn't this awesome? Praise God. According to the MRIs, it's impossible for him just to stand up like that. They say that one-third of his brain is dead. He shouldn't even be alive, much less able to do anything. And yet they stood there, and Debbie and him just stood and countered these things. But most people put more importance on what the doctor has to say. Most people are more moved by what the lawyer has to say, than what the news has to say, than what God's word has to say. I pray with people all of the time, and they say, "All right, I'm going to go back to the doctor and I'm going to find out if this is true." Man, I'm not saying that you ignore the natural realm or say that sickness doesn't exist. I'm not saying you don't go to a doctor, but I'm telling you, if the reason you aren't going to believe until the doctor says you're healed, then you probably aren't going to be healed. You're going to have to get to the point that you believe what the Word of God says in spite of the negative reports, in spite of the things that are said. And there's not very many people like that. We live in a world of unbelief, and it says here, talking about Lot, that as he lived among them, he vexed his righteous soul from day to day in seeing and hearing their unlawful deeds. And you know why he went down into Sodom and Gomorrah? In the 14th chapter of the book of Genesis, Abram gave him a choice. He says, the whole land's before us. You can pick whichever way you want to go. And if you've ever been over to Israel, I guarantee you, there down there around Horeb, down around the Dead Sea area, you can walk 5 and 10 feet in between blades of grass. It's basically a desert. But yet down in the Jordan Valley, it was rich pasture land. Man, the grass was up to the horses' bellies. And Abraham says, pick whichever way you want to go. There was no guessing about what Lot was going to choose. He chose the well-watered area. He went down there where all of the pasture land was. And he went down there for prosperity, but he went down to a place, Sodom and Gomorrah, that was steeped. It says in the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis that when those two angels came down to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, it says that every single man in the city, every man came out. They were every single one of them homosexuals. Every one of them came out and tried to abuse these two angels. He lived in an ungodly place because of the financial advantage it had to him. He thought that he had to do it, and it wound up vexing him. Matter of fact, I read some of these other translations. I forget the exact wording right now, but it was terrible. One of them, it says that it drove him crazy.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to stay positive in a negative world. This 5-part teaching series was recorded at our 2010 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1065C for CD or R3209D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RHT23 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I'd like to thank all of the partners of Andrew Womack Ministry for making this radio program available. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be able to broadcast on radio and on television. And if you aren't a partner with us, I'd like to ask you to pray about becoming a partner. We spend around $1 million a month on radio and television airtime, and we give our materials away. It's not covered in just the cost of the things that we give away. If it wasn't for partners who gave over and above what it cost to put the gospel out to you, we could not continue this ministry. So if the Lord has blessed you and you would like to see other people blessed through this ministry, I'd like to encourage you to pray about it and then call us at 719-635-1111 and become a partner today.